Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Avery Zaretsky. We got no Cody Frankel today. Don't know why, but we're going to miss him. Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. Avery, let's just start with you. How was your Christmas? I see you're back home.
I'm back home. It was great to be with family and just enjoying the Rangers, enjoying time with my friends. You know, being in Miami, it's hard when you're not with your close family and friends, but you know, I'm having a good time down there. It's always nice to come back to New Jersey though, especially that cold weather. You get a little bit of that grit weather and there's nothing like it. I do miss the seasons. You kind of lose a little bit of concept of time down in Miami because it's always pretty much the same weather. So it is nice to get that, but it just feels different as an older, you know, not, I wouldn't say an older person, but because I'm still young, but you know, when I was 10, 12, 13 years old, it was like you felt like the snow and everything. It felt more like Christmas, and it just didn't really feel like Christmas that year, if that makes sense.
Well, also right now it's like 50 degrees out. Like yesterday it was like a beautiful afternoon. Like it did not feel like Christmassy weather. It hasn't even snowed once. Like it's been weird. And last winter was kind of the same.
Yeah, it's like it's not about the trees with the lights and everything. You always get that. You always get the people putting the signs out and the lights, but it's just weird. It doesn't feel like it's holiday time.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you know, I was saying it yesterday to my friends, time's flying. Like before we know it, it's going to be April and like, it's going to be warm out again. And I don't know. It's been a weird, weird year. Like to your point, everything just seems to be going really, really fast.
Yeah. I'm going to be 26 next week. It's crazy.
On your own insurance?
On my own insurance.
Well, probably have benefits that better and stuff, but
yeah, but I mean, I still gotta pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you feel like you're an adult for the first time, when like you're kind of off your parents' insurance and whatnot.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's interesting. I mean, I already applied for it and everything, so I'll have it, but definitely a life change for sure.
What did you do for Christmas? Do you have any traditions or anything?
No specific traditions. Just with my mom, my dad, both ways. You know, cause I'm half, so I got the Hanukkah Christmas type deal. So it was nice though. I just came back. I was down the shore. That's where my mom's at. So went down there. It's a good time.
I was giving Jake shit because I heard he went to the Ranger game last week with his girlfriend and you got booted from that game.
I voluntarily booted myself. I feel like, I feel like he hasn't really get that many chances to go. So I just let it happen, did whatever. And it's just one of those things where I went, the reason why I did is because I went a couple games ago to the 50th anniversary thing. And I just felt like I hit my quota. I hit my Rangers quota for being home for now. I'm actually going, this will come out tomorrow. So I'm actually going Friday in Florida against the Panthers.
Are you doing a ref content night, or are you just going and enjoy the game?
No. We're going to enjoy this one.
All right, good. And I actually will say I have a cool piece on your brother Jake that I'm hoping to have out as you're listening today. But him and Johnny Brodzinski had a really cool card exchange, and I'll get more into it when the story comes out. But if you want to, I don't know if you want to say anything about it. But
no, that's really cool. When I found out you were doing it, I was excited, and I know Jake's excited. And the whole situation's awesome. Johnny's a great guy. Him and I have spoke. You and him have spoke, obviously, because
he's the man.
You know, not only just with the hockey news, but I know on a personal note, Johnny's just been good to both of us. It feels like when you're talking to one of your boys, it's not just like a guy in the Rangers. He's just a cool dude. And my brother was telling me that he like was talking to him about just normal life stuff. It's just cool when these guys who have so much on their shoulders and they mean so much to a lot of people, a lot of fans, and they just go out and they do this. It's incredible. So really excited to see the story, Johnny.
And speaking of your brother and speaking of your family, we had a text from a friend of mine who actually is like a listener to every episode a couple weeks ago that I forgot to mention. I sent it to you, but I forgot to mention it on the podcast. You wanted me to read it out loud. So I'm going to read this text out loud for my friend Brett. And this was when we were talking about your family and the Now I Can Die in Peace stuff. So it's kind of related to that. And the text I got from Brett was, so pretty crazy. I'm in the gym talking to my Rangers fan buddy, Mike. He was talking about how he went to all the Cup final games in 94. So he goes, you know, the sign, Now We Can Die in Peace. So I'm like, yes, told him about Avery's dad and about the podcast. So he's like, yeah, I had a friend, big hockey fan, Rangers fan, wasn't doing well and was in the hospital during game 7. Said he watched the game, saw the sign, and the next day passed away. He's like, he actually died in peace watching the Rangers win the cup. Said he watched the game with his dad with a smile on his face, went to sleep, and never woke up. 25 years old. I mean, that is just like,
that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, you know, this is Brett talking to somebody at the gym. Like, we don't know how true that story is, but like, just getting that text is like, you know, kind of wild that someone experienced that through like your family, you know, like it's crazy,
right?
What that sign has meant, not only to like the history of the Rangers, but just like people in their overall lives.
Yeah. I just like, I think that's what my grandfather and my dad, my uncle, they talk about it. It's just one of those things that just encompassed everything that they were feeling for so long. And it really resonated with every single Ranger fan at the time.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see the sign that you guys come up with when hopefully that day
comes. I never like to jinx it, but you know, it's so funny. I was down in Middletown just now at Talercio's. My buddy Eric, he's obviously a diehard Ranger fan. And I think, so we haven't really discussed this, but we're definitely going to do a tailgate for the February outdoor.
We're working on it.
Mm-hmm. We're working on it. And Eric wants to do a Talercio's catering type deal. And I think what we do is we're going to have him on the week before, because this guy, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who knows Rangers hockey. He was talking in my ear, like more stuff than I know about the team. He's talking about like trade deadline acquisitions. So I think we should definitely have him on. I think he's great. And I was down there and I kind of tested him a little bit. I walked up to him and like, dude, the boys are playing good this year. And he was very like modest about it. And I knew, and you know, that's a real fan when they're modest about it. Cause we've been through so much.
Yeah.
And like, everything's going so good right now. You just don't want to be like the guy who like jumps the gun. And then at the end of the year, they do what they did last year. So it's so funny that like this all encompasses the fact that we just like, no matter how good we play, we're always just going to be super cautious.
No, but I think it's good. Like, I think it's a good mix. Like when the team is playing shitty, I think it's okay to let them know. And when the team is playing good, like, I think it's okay to brag and like talk shit. Like that's the beauty of being a sports fan, right? Like when your team is playing well, you want to rub it in everyone's face. And when they're not playing well, you just got to take the shots that come at you. But like,
yeah,
I don't think as a fan, you have to say even keel. I think as a fan, you can be a little bit on both sides.
I think generally as a fan, of course, but I think as a Ranger fan, when you know what we've been through, like we're all cautious, but in generality of sports and whatever, dude, talk your shit, man.
Yeah,
I agree. I think when you're winning, you talk it, because everybody else, when their teams are winning and your teams are losing, give it to you. So you should be able to give it back.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. So with that said, we got a lot of fan questions this week, and there's, you know, obviously hasn't been a game in the last 3 days. So we're just going to go into that. Not many games to talk about, but the Rangers do play the Capitals tonight as you're listening. So we'll talk about that game, I'm sure, next week, this week, probably a little bit more busy, but let's get into fan questions. So the first one from Stefan Gross, what was the dopest gift you received over the holidays? Any new Rangers gear?
You know, it's so funny. As I get older, I don't really ask for that many gifts. Oh, I did. I got this Ranger. It's from Johnny O. It's like a crew neck type thing, and it's really nice. It's like,
that's like old school, what the coaches used to wear like during practice. Like
it's like nice and light, so I can wear it down in Florida, but I could also like wear it here. I wore it the other night out, and it's just like nice. Like the Rangers logo is pretty modest. It's embroidered and it feels really comfortable. So yeah, I think this is probably my favorite thing I got. I actually saw a meme the other day. It was like, when you're younger, the worst thing you can get as a kid is like clothes. And now when you get clothes, it's like the greatest feeling ever. So
it's hype. Like I love getting new clothes. It's a different.
Oh yeah, man.
Different kind of rush.
It's so different now.
I didn't really get, I had like Secret Santa with my high school friends. So one of my friends got me a pretty cool hat. Actually, it's like a 94 Ranger hat. It's kind of behind me. I don't want to get up and grab it, but he got me that and like some Lululemon clothing, but I had to return those and pick out my own ones. But
damn,
yeah, like I don't really do, like, I didn't grow up, my family never really did like gift exchanges that much during the holidays. Like, we just didn't really do it. We're more birthdays than holidays, I think. So I guess when the birthday stuff comes around, we'll do some gift stuff.
Johnny's picky as hell, bro.
Yeah. Well, I don't really.
No, I agree.
I don't really ask for much, you know?
I agree. I think that I know someone like you is always grateful anyways, but I think like if it's not something you want, you shouldn't just like deal with it. And I think as a gift giver, I'd feel better knowing you got what you got, what you wanted.
Yeah. I told my mom, actually, there's only one thing that I want that I don't have that I don't even know if I would actually want, but I've never been much of a watch guy, but I feel like, you know, now that I, if I'm wearing a suit and whatever, I feel like just a nice watch, not too expensive, but like that's something that I feel like I just should have.
Yeah, absolutely.
You wear a watch, right? Yeah, you wear a
watch. I do. Yeah. I wear multiple watches. My 21st birthday gift was a watch. It was the Henrik Lundqvist watch. That was like a dream to get that watch. Mm-hmm. And then I have some other like basic watches. Like there's a company out of Detroit called Shinola. And they're like, most of them are under a grand and they're really nice. Like they're really nice, like classy, like casual watches.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm going for. Definitely like the 500, Matt, like, you know, I don't really need a
$7,000
watch.
No.
All right. Next one. This is actually pretty funny. Jamie Warrack, a friend of mine who I saw at the game the other night. And I don't know if anyone else caught on to this, but the picture that was posted for the questions today, she said, "Is this the POV while you shit?" And yes, I was in the toilet when I posted the questions today. So guilty.
You're an interesting guy, Johnny.
Yeah, guilty on that one. Next one, Goth Brooks RVA. Any New Year's resolutions, boys? What should the Rangers be? And then he said, "Shout out to myself and beautiful wife Raynell. We're both down 50 pounds this year.
Let's go." Right.
Shout out Goth Brooks. Huge. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a resolution?
Mine is to start going back to the gym twice a day. I was doing two a days. Like I would run in the morning and then work out after. And then I kind of just, when I moved to Miami, I was only just really working after. But now that I'm like settled into my job and I feel more comfortable, I'm getting back into those two a days. I also just, I just want to be like more kind. I feel like I could just be more kind, like in person, to not just like people that I know, in terms of like paying more attention to their conversations. Cause sometimes I drift off and I kind of mm-hmm. just like think about other things, but it's just not, in general,
not, a not kind thing though.
I just feel like I don't pay attention as much as I should. And I think even like just everyday life, like whether it's just like waiting to hold the door or like an extra second for somebody, or I don't know. I just feel like
you want to be more present. You want to be more present.
More present and more conscious of like things that are going on. I just see myself as like, I like to be appreciative and like take things into perspective in terms of like, there's a lot of people who like would like kill to like have the opportunities that I've had in life. And I just want to be more conscious of that. So I think mm-hmm. just being more like present and like aware of like how lucky I am.
I'd say that's a good one. And you also, you know, I think you're in a different spot than you were like a year ago, right? Like your year has been very wild. And you know, it's good that you're grateful for it. And, you know, you got to go through some shit to get to the good stuff. So you deserve to, you know, be in the spot you're in.
Yeah, exactly. You too. You're working your ass off. This is a glazing session featuring Johnny and Avery. But
yeah, let's move on.
But it's true. It is. And everybody should feel that way about themselves too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, mine was just try to cook more, but
I like that. That's yeah, good. I mean, that's great. I don't cook in my apartment at all. I probably should.
I've never been a cooker, and like, you know, I there were stretches, like there was a 3-month span where I was cooking like every day for lunch, and I felt healthier. I felt better about my, like, I just felt better and more productive when I was cooking. And dinner is different. Like I want to eat like a nice light, healthy lunch. Like I always try to have a lighter lunch, you know, aside from when I'm craving the cutlet or whatever on a random Saturday or Sunday. I think those are kind of you know, one-offs, but light lunch, then like a whatever for dinner. That's kind of how I go about it every day. But there's nothing worse. I used to do it every day growing up. I don't know how I played like a sport competitively, but I would have the biggest lunches. And like now when I have a huge lunch, like it just fucking knocks me out for the rest of the day. Like I can't be productive after a big lunch. But there,
dude,
are people
just
that
buy a cookbook. Buy a cookbook and just make every, like, start from the front and just make everything in the cookbook and just pick what you like and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next one is a hockey one. John Reese 16. How much better do you think this team can be once Kako and Hedl are back?
Yeah, I mean, they're already playing amazing, and you get those two guys back. Hedl obviously was a gamer before he got hurt, and a guy that we seriously need in the lineup. And Kako, who had been struggling, but we know that his defensive abilities were helping us at the time. You can see the metrics, and yeah, anytime you can add two starters back into your lineup, a lineup that's already producing so much, is great. And I also think that, overall, they still can add some pieces that'll really help this team.
I don't know about Hedl. I'm not quite sure if he'll play in the regular season.
Oh, yeah. In terms of that, I think I'd mentioned it on the last podcast, and people were like, oh, you know, when he comes back and whatnot. I don't really see him coming back.
I don't know.
If there was a reason for if there was a reason for him to come back, like if they weren't playing great and they like were losing a ton of injuries, but I think they're being very cautious with him. And I think that they see an opportunity where the LTIR comes into play and they can use it, especially if they don't feel like they necessarily need him right now with how good Trocheck's playing. It's either that situation or it's even worse, and he just see like they just keep that they can't risk it.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, Peter Laviolette said it last week. Like, Kako skated three or four times last week, so he's on his way back. Hedl still like hasn't really skated with the team. He skated on his own, but you know, like you said, Avery, they're going slow about this process. Like, there's no rush.
As
So
they should.
yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what they decide to do. You know, if he is healthy enough to play. And the next one, Mark Schiraldi. We need a score at the deadline. Who do you guys think we should get? We're gonna get these questions every week, but
Yeah, of course.
I
If I
want to throw a
had,
sleeper in there if I can, because I feel like we've talked about, you know, Tarasenko, Duclair, Zuccarello,
yeah.
and Vetrana. We've done that conversation. In a
Go
couple
ahead.
weeks,
Yeah, those are all the names I was thinking, so go ahead.
In a couple weeks, and you know, this is just myth, obviously, and there's no truth to it or anything, but well, not this part, but the following part. In a couple weeks, Shane Pinto will be back from his suspension playing in Ottawa. And he's probably going to sign a 1-year deal, I imagine, with everything that happened this year and has to prove himself again and whatnot. I could maybe see the Rangers trying to get him if Hedl is not going to return. Third line center, put up 20 goals, you know, kind of what the Rangers are looking for. And that's a name that, you know, if there is the right price range for Ottawa, you know, I don't know what that situation could be. So,
But do we feel like,
it's a hypothetical, but
no, of course. And
yeah.
I don't think it's a bad hypothetical, but do you feel like that's where they're looking, or do you think they're looking at that, like we've been doing the past couple of years, is that top right wing spot? Is that what do you think their main goal is going to be? Or are they looking for more of a third line? Because they have the depth in terms of, like, you know, they can slot Bonino in, they can slot Pitlick in, but it's like that first line. That first, so you know, that first right wing spot, who are they going to put there? If it were up to me, it's Tarasenko is the number one option, and then if you can't get him, it's either Zuccarello or Vetrano. But people keep saying Vetrano. What's his contract right now? Didn't they just sign him?
He's got one more year.
Oh, okay. Then
I'm
I was
pretty
wrong.
sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm
So
sure.
he would be a great asset to bring back. And I mean, if it were anybody. I love Tarasenko on the Rangers, but I would do bad things to have Zuccarello back.
I don't know what they're going to do because I think they're pretty happy with Blake Wheeler right now in that spot.
That
And
is true.
it's shown too that Wheeler isn't very productive or effective on the third line. So if
Right.
you replace him, I don't know where he goes. And I think what they have right now is pretty like Mika, Kreider, and Wheeler have been playing pretty well as of late. I'm pretty sure Wheeler right now is on like a, you know, 4-game point streak or something. And he's got like, you know, 3 or 4 goals, 5 assists in his last couple games. I don't know if those numbers are exactly right. I don't have it in front of me, but something around those lines. And you know, Mika's been playing well. Kreider's producing. Like, that line is starting to gel a little bit. And if the Rangers, you know, what does everyone say in the playoffs? What do you need? Like a good third line and secondary scoring. So if they can go out and add like a, you know, solid third line piece, someone similar to a Will Cooley or someone on the fourth line who can score goals, maybe take Pitlick's spot. You know, that could be someone that they target as opposed to a first line right winger. And they're not going to do a second line right winger because Lafreniere has shown up. So I don't know if you have a response to that.
No, Johnny, think about it this way, right? So you're in bed, right? And you wake up in the middle of the night, and you're parched. Like your mouth is so dry, and you look to your left and there's an ice cold glass of water next to you. And you take that sip and it feels like the greatest sip you've ever taken in your entire life. Mm-hmm. That is what Joe Tolleson saying Matt Zuccarello the first night back as a New York Ranger would feel like to everybody. And I need it. I need it.
The building would buzz, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Next,
I don't know if that's a good comparison, but
Jeff, I didn't really get where you were going, but I'll play along with it.
Yeah.
The next one, and this is like a longer one from NY Rocky 93. When you guys talked about how Lindy always puts himself in bad spots, I just wanted to know what's the right way. I never played contact league, so I'm just curious what's taught and what exactly he's doing wrong.
I just think that You might be able to answer this better than me because you played a higher level than me. But from knowing the game so well, I just think that he's just a guy who just goes harder into the corners than most. Like, you look at a guy, we talk about it all the time on this show. Adam Fox, sometimes he'll let the guy get the puck before him so he can make the play on him versus, like, Lindgren. He'll always just go hard into the corner and make the play. On that Pastrnak hit, he stopped up, but it's not like he's trying to do that. It's just more of just whatever happens, where the way the puck's bouncing, it's these split second decisions that when you slow it down, you start to ask more questions. But in their head, they're not thinking about that. They're just thinking about making the right play. And sometimes the right play looks like the wrong play when you micromanage it and you slow it down. So I don't really know. I think that he's just been caught in some bad spots. It's the same thing with Hedl. Like, he's just been hit hard in bad spots. It's not like he's really like looking to put himself in that spot. It just happens. It's a fast game.
Yeah, the Lindgren one's interesting because, you know, playing D and playing forward are very different. Like, I could tell you what a forward would be doing, you know, putting themselves in that bad situation. But as a defenseman, it's a little bit harder. And I know, like, defensemen always obviously hate going back to retrieve pucks, knowing they have a forward coming at them, looking to hit them. And there's been situations where, you know, maybe Lindgren could escape as opposed to absorbing a hit against the wall. You know, I think getting away from the boards would be the best thing for him, obviously. Like, you know, you rarely kind of see Foxy expose his body like close to the boards. He usually does like a cutback or just is standing up straight, where Lindgren maybe lunges over a bit and opens himself up to receive a hit like that. Like, the most dangerous spot a defenseman could be in, and this is where like a forward's like eyes light up, is when you want to lay somebody out, is when a defenseman is going, like, let's say they're on their forehand and they're going blue line to red line to dump the puck in, and they kind of open up their body to dump the puck in, and you have that full body exposed to you to just light them the fuck up. Like, that's when a forward is just like so fired up to try to, you know, lay somebody out. And Lindgren, there has been times where he is trying to like ice the puck up the boards, I think, and maybe he opens up his body for a bigger player. I think it was Leeson on the Ducks that laid him out, you know, in that similar situation. But I think it's just Lindgren also being very tough, and just, it's not like a thought to him, right? Like he doesn't mind getting hit, where, like, you know, a guy like Foxy, he's a skilled guy. Like, skill guys don't like getting hit. And I think Lindgren just doesn't really care as much. And that might be a lack of a better way to put it. But, like, he's been hit a million fucking times and he always responds. Like, you know, there are guys who just can't take a hit because they are more vulnerable to it, whereas Lindgren just isn't. And I think that's kind of the only explanation, right? Like, he just is used to receiving them and doesn't mind getting bumped. And he just kind of deals with the consequences. I think that's the only
way. There's some boxers who are really good at dodging punches, and there's some that just take hits to the face just to expose the other guy.
Yeah, I think that's really all it is. And to the Lindgren point, Sammy Hockey 36, can Lindgren finally beat Lindgren tomorrow? Charlie Lindgren, the goalie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely feeling sour about that last game against them. So I think that they're going to come out hot. The Rangers have looked good recently. I don't know their most recent record, but it feels like they've been still winning a lot of games. They looked great against Buffalo. I don't know how much we touched on that Boston game, but man, they look so good in that game. Like, you know, they're not going to be able to do that every night, but if they can do that every couple of games, they're going to be really, really successful down the stretch this year. So I'm excited for this game against the Caps. They know what they have to do. They know they screwed up last time, so I think they're going to come out hot.
It's also interesting for both teams because the NHL doesn't allow the teams to practice on the 24th, 25th, 26th. So both teams tomorrow, or today as you're listening, are on the ice for the first time in 3 days, but it's going to be a slow start. It always is after Christmas. Like, those games are just like a little weird because everyone's a little bit rusty after 3 days. And like, you might think it's only been 3 days, but when you play hockey and you don't skate for 3 days, it feels like you haven't skated in like a month. Like, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's wild how quickly it goes away. But we're going to pick a couple more. The next one will go with Mike_D92. Favorite and least favorite activity during the holidays?
Ooh. You know, I think it falls under the same activity as drinking. It's great. But dude, the aftermath is brutal. The aftermath is absolutely brutal. I think it's like the same thing with Thanksgiving. It's like the drinking and the eating can go hand in hand with favorite and non-favorite. Like, it's the food's so good. The drinking's a great time and hanging out with the people you love. But dude, the aftermath of both is brutal.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the holidays aren't too exciting just because, like, fully Jewish, like, not much to do. Yeah. But my personal favorite activity, the same friend Brett, who I mentioned earlier in the episode, he like manages a roller hockey rink on Long Island in Plainview. So he opens it up on Christmas Day for like the Jewish, you know, guys to come down and play. So we've been doing that for like 10 years. We had a good pickup game on Christmas Day this morning, or, you know, this week. Probably had like 15 skaters, two goalies, just to
That's
get
awesome.
Sweat. So that was fun. I don't really have a least favorite because I don't really do anything. Like, literally just sit around and watch the NBA and NFL all day. But that's really it.
That's good. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Next one, Simi Sammy, and we'll do two more, including like this one, second to last. Thoughts on Laviolette now that we are into the season?
Yes. I mean, he's been great. Yeah, he's been great. I knew he was going to be great. Everybody wanted to sit back and doubt. I hate saying that, like, I know all these things. I knew Trocheck was going to have a great year. I didn't know. But I just felt I don't like to judge something before it actually happens. Like, when you hire a coach, it's like you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. Yeah, he has a past, right? Everybody has a past, but you just don't know what people are going to do given a new opportunity. And Laviolette came in and he worked this team really hard, made them compete level at the highest it could possibly be. And it's showing. I mean, they're the number one team in the NHL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was totally wrong about him. I've said it multiple times. Like, I thought he was going to be like, you know, typical old school guy, you know, hockey, 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 win, 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 get pucks deep, 2 points, like all the cliches you can come up with. And he is a way more personable and even like funnier guy than I ever could have thought. And it's funny because, like, I don't want to say I really paid too close attention to coaches. Like, I was never one to, like, you know, watch a lot of the day-to-day like media scrums and all that stuff. Like, I didn't really go on YouTube to watch those things. I would only watch like the MSG post game shows. That's really it. And you don't really get to see the coach talk a lot, but now that, like, you know, you're in it every day and you see how he talks to the media, you kind of see how he treats the players. Like, he's fucking incredible. And I don't have like, one negative thing to say about him, which is, you know, as a fan, as a critic, as a whatever, like, the first person you could put blame on is a coach. And I have nothing to say bad about Laviolette. Not one thing.
Love that. Love that.
And the last one we'll finish up with, Brandman 7694. What was your favorite Rangers brawl?
Of all time?
Yeah.
It's got to be, I always forget the date, but I was there. Rangers Devils when they all dropped the gloves off the
I was at that game too.
Yeah, it was, I think, Brandon Prust,
Stu Bickel and Mike Rupp.
And the best part about that was the reason why it happened is because I'm almost positive Peter DeBoer said he was going to start the first line and he didn't, or like the lineup card came into Tortorella as like the first line was going to start, but the fourth lineup ended up starting and Tortorella was hot. Like, he was pissed off. And I think the Rangers were pissed off too. And that whole season was a whirlwind between the Rangers and Devils. And it felt like it was all brewing up to that moment. It was awesome. That was electric. Or the fight after the Anisimov goal celebration.
Were you at that game too?
It was absolute mayhem. When they show that Anisimov like goal celebration, you can like see me in like the top left corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You gotta send me that. That's sick.
Yeah, I will.
I would say mine. My first thought was the Devils one. That one was just insane. Like off the opening faceoff, three guys going at it, or six guys, I guess technically is sick. But I think my next one would be, I was at the preseason game like a long ass time ago, Nassau Coliseum, when DiPietro fought Al Montoya. That one was that one was pretty sweet. I don't know if that was like a brawl or just a goalie fight. I don't remember it being like a full on brawl. But that one was a good one for me for sure.
Great. Yeah. The Rangers have had some good fights, but that I bet you that was probably brought up because the whole Will Cooley fight, which was awesome.
Oh, true. Yeah. Will Cooley.
Yeah.
That was great. He's a fucking beast, dude. I'd love another player like him. Like he's an animal. Big fan of Will Cooley's. But
yep.
That's really gonna do it for this week's episode. Just short and sweet. Catching up after the holidays. We got New Year's coming up. Any big plans for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I'll be back in Miami. We're going to Dare, which is like a club in the Hollywood Casino. So if you're going to be there, hit me up and it'll be a good time. Afrojack's playing. So it'll be great.
Oh, sick. Yeah, that's cool.
It's going to be a good time.
I like that. I won't bring down.
Yeah.
That's that. Dude,
we're doing, it's going to be it's a big weekend. I'm doing Flo Rida at 11 on Thursday. Gunna at Live on Saturday, and then Sunday, which I think is that New Year's Eve,
Sunday?
Or is it Monday?
I think so. I think New Year's Eve is Sunday.
Yeah, so Gunna and then on Saturday, and then Sunday at Dare with Afrojack. So it's gonna be a big week for your boy. So, and Rangers Thursday.
So we won't hear from you next week, probably.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, even though it was pretty short and sweet. Hope you guys had a great Christmas and a happy new year to everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Any final thoughts?
LFGR, baby.